Bibles to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Luke, can you get me a glass of water? I'd appreciate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, wonderful song there. The Lord was, as we think about by faith, we move forward by faith. We accomplish the will of God. Our forefathers did that. They accomplished the will of God through faith. And we shall do the same. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, would you say amen? Amen. All right. That's most of it. Let me turn my mic on here. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13, although we will be looking at several verses earlier in the chapter. But let's look at verse 13. Paul says here, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's laborers, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." Verse 16, "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Church, as we follow up from our missions conference this morning, I want to speak to you from my heart about how we, with God's help, can enlarge our influence and impact for the gospel's sake. And I believe that as we look at this passage, I believe if we will hear the heartbeat of Paul speaking to these believers in Corinth, we also will be motivated to understand how we too can grow in our influence with the gospel ministry. Would you pray with me? Father, I confess to you right now before these dear people that I cannot preach this message without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking that you would fill me. I yield myself to you, Lord. I empty myself. I have no power of my own. And I'm asking you to teach us this passage of Scripture right now, Lord, to illumine our hearts and minds for what you desire to do through Crooked Creek Baptist Church. What you have done these 218 years in the life of this church. But God, what you want to do in the days ahead will be determined by our obedience to you, our faith in what you desire to do. So take over the message, Lord. Take over this time in the Word, and we will be thankful. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Enlarging Our Influence with the Gospel. Enlarging Our Influence with the Gospel. As we gather here today as a church family, we are deciding that what we will give for the coming year in regards to the Faith Promise Missions Program. We are coming to God with a free will offering. It is a voluntary offering because this missions giving is not commanded in Scripture directly. It is advised, it is encouraged by the Apostle Paul. And if we're going to obey the Great Commission, you could say it indirectly commands it because we're called to reach all the world and there's got to be a way to do it. So as we look at this, we understand we come and we are motivated to give in this offering, not by coercion, but by our love for Christ and the people for whom He died. The need of the world is enormous, with a population approaching 8 billion souls. 8 billion. I was looking at the world population clock just yesterday, and as the numbers are just passing by extremely fast, and as the world is increasing every second by the hundreds, it is amazing to see that God Almighty has a plan for those people, just like He had a plan for us and has a plan for us. But the question we ask ourselves, even as a local church and as individuals, how will they be reached? How can we reach them with the gospel? The answer is the local church being obedient to the Lord's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's how it will be fulfilled. Why do I know that? Because God has planned it that way. His plan involves the local churches, just like this one, big, small, no matter the size, each one of them is a body of Christ, who Christ is the head. He's in charge. He's the master. But everybody has a responsibility to proclaim this wonderful good news and to do everything they can to make sure every creature hears it. Now, I realize, and we all realize this morning, that Crooked Creek cannot possibly reach all the world. That would just be truly impossible for us to do. But what is possible, brethren, is for us to do our part. Amen? You have a part, I have a part, we have a part to fulfill this great commission. Now, I like what Edward Everett Hale said. He was a distinguished poet and actually a former chaplain to the U.S. Senate. He eloquently captured the essence of really personal responsibility. And I'd like to make the application to fulfilling the Great Commission. He said this, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, that I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do." And we can make that very application here today, this morning. We can't win all the world, the 8 billion. That's impossible. But we do have a, I believe, determined place in reaching those 8 billion. I believe God has laid out a course for this local church and for the members that make up this church to have a part in reaching that. And that's what we're concentrating on this morning. We want to be obedient to our part. A.B. Simpson, a preacher of the past, said this, "The Christian is not obedient unless he is doing all in his power to send the gospel to the heathen world." That is so true. And so here in our passage, Paul is explaining and clarifying his ministry of proclaiming the gospel. You see, there were doubters in the church who questioned his authority. His authority as an apostle. They questioned his motive as a missionary. They questioned his method as a preacher. And so he's actually taking this chapter that we're looking at right now, and he's going to introduce some thoughts to these believers in Corinth to clarify some things about himself, to clarify some things about his motive and his mission. And I believe we can learn from that. Notice with me 4 points this morning that Paul makes clear to the Corinthian church concerning his influence for the gospel ministry. He makes it clear that God has called us to be growing and enlarging our influence with the gospel news. Number one, if you're taking notes with me, would you notice that we need to ask ourselves this question? And I believe he's going to bring this up before these people in Corinth. Number one, what part of our influence needs to be enlarged? What part of our influence as a local church needs to be enlarged? Well, I believe we find the answer there. And notice with me in verse number 15. He's going to explain some things here to them that it's going to be, notice with me, not boasting. Excuse me, I want to go back up to verse 15. Not boasting of the things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope. Now notice that. Having hope that what will happen? When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged. Enlarged to do what? Verse 16 gives us the answer. What is that? What are the first four words there of verse 16? That's what God wants us to do. That's where He wants us to be enlarged. That's where He wants our influence to grow. And Paul is making that known to the church in Corinth, that it's the preaching and proclaiming of the gospel. Now, you'll notice if you make if you have a King James Bible in front of you, notice the word measure is used there at least four times in verses 13, 14, and 15. Now, I have them underlined here, and a fifth one I have underlined that was italicized here, and that was put by the translators to give clarity. But we see here that these are referring to his sphere of influence. That was his area of responsibility. Every person in this room has a area of responsibility. This church, Crooked Creek Baptist, has an area of responsibility when it comes to proclaiming the gospel. And that's why we see our missions family growing, because it is God's will for us to reach certain regions that He puts on our hearts, where He brings missionaries into this church that we hear about. For instance, from Mozambique and New Zealand and the Rock of Ages Public School Ministry. There are other areas, and all the ones we could name, all the flags we could name, which we did last Sunday with all the families. And so that is what he is talking about here, measure. Paul's measure was his sphere of influence. And you see, Paul hoped that the faith of the Corinthians would grow. Why? So that his measure would be enlarged. And as we think about that, the giving of our local church enlarges the influence of our missionaries. That's a pretty amazing thought if you think about it. By my giving, the faith promise card here in just a little bit at the end of this meeting, we're all going to fill it out and we're all going to make a decision on how we can enlarge the influence of these missionaries going around the world. You see, I like what Spurgeon said. If there be anything about which we cannot tolerate lukewarmness, it is in the matter of sending the gospel to a dying world. We don't need to be lukewarm, brethren. We need to be on fire. There needs to be a zeal in your heart, in my heart, a passion to do more, to go to more, that more might hear. See, church, they cannot know Him unless we tell them about Him. And I'm asking God just to give us a renewed effort and focus and faith so that we can let more know that He saves. Jesus saves, as the choir beautifully sang just a moment ago. Jesus saves. That's the message of the hour. That's the message to sound across the globe, to sound across the waves of the sea, to make known to a lost world that Jesus saves. You see, what part of our influence needs to be enlarged as a local church? It's the gospel ministry. Number two, the question is, how are we to enlarge our influence and effectiveness with the gospel? How are we to do that? Well, he says here in verse number 15, the first way is when our faith is increased. That's what he said in verse 15, if you notice. He says, but having hope, he had a hopeful heart, as he's writing them this, that their faith will be increased. And my friends, in order for us to accomplish what God has set out for us, we have to have an increase in our faith in the person and plan of God. Our faith in the missionary doing the work God has called them to. Because let's be honest, if we do not have faith that these missionaries are doing what they have represented, what they have spoken of, we're going to have a hard time giving. I mean, would you agree to that? I mean, that goes for any type of investment, really. When it comes to the point of knowing the will of God and knowing whether a person is doing what they're saying, that's just common sense for all of us. And I believe that these missionaries that are in these countries, they're proclaiming the gospel. And I have faith that the gospel still works. And that's what Paul said, church, because there were doubters in the church, and they were casting doubt into the believers' minds there at Corinth. And Paul's saying, if I can just paraphrase, Paul's saying, look, I want to clarify in your minds that, listen, I am called of God. I'm an apostle. I've been given authority of God. I'm not taking advantage of you. I'm not trying to destroy you. I'm simply telling you that Jesus has given us a command to go into all the world. That's what I'm doing. I'm preaching Christ. You've known that from the beginning. And He is just convincing them of that. I believe we might need to turn the air off because I think that thing just bit the dust. I don't even know if it's working. So we can just turn it off. I don't know what it's doing. It's making a weird noise. Does anybody else hear that? All right. So we see here that, in fact, it is how do we enlarge our influence and effectiveness with the gospel? It is by faith. And then secondly, let me draw your attention to a couple verses earlier in the passage. Would you look with me over in verse number 2? And I'm going to read through verse number 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2-5. Notice what Paul said in the beginning of this chapter. He says, but I beseech you, it's basically saying, I beg you. I beg for your attention here, that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So see, there were people accusing them of Paul of not being sincere, of being someone who just takes advantage of them. But notice verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, and what he means by that is we're like flesh like anybody, we're human. He said we do not war after the flesh. What he's saying there, let me pause there for a minute. He is saying that the spiritual battle that he is in is not a fleshly battle. It's not fought with human physical terms. He said, I live in the flesh. He says, I truly walk according to the flesh. But you know what he said? I do not battle in the flesh. And my friends, in order for us to understand how we're going to enlarge our ministry of the gospel ministry, we got to understand it is not a fleshly battle. It is a spiritual battle. It is called spiritual warfare. And Paul is making it clear, how do we fight this spiritual warfare? He tells us, notice in verse number 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons or the tools of our warfare are not carnal. That's another word for fleshly. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, you think in our society, church, that there are any strongholds around us? You think of any families that are currently in a stronghold by Satan's grips, they can't be freed? Can you think of any, maybe towns, cities, countries that are seemingly under a stronghold of Satan's grip? Of course we can. We understand that, and he says that by battling the spiritual wars, by these wars with a spiritual strength, we're able to bring down strongholds. And notice what he says in verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you see what the Apostle Paul is saying here? In order for us to gain ground in our influence, we got to understand we're in a spiritual battle. And you say that's not by using carnal means. Can I say this? Trying to do the work of God without the power of God is futile. So we got to say, no, we're gonna war the spiritual warfare with God's power. Now, this will be absurd to your common man in the world. The natural man, fleshly man, who does not have the Spirit of God living in him. By the way, that's one of the things he was combating. You had these false teachers. They were fleshly. They were carnal. They didn't understand the spiritual realm of that we battle as Christians. And they were accusing Paul of being a fake. They were sowing seed of discord in the minds of those young believers. And so Paul's writing this letter to clear things up. But he's saying this is what we have to do. It's a spiritual means. You know, trying to fight this warfare with our flesh, with our own human power. It's like I was one time when I was first learning to use a chainsaw, and I inherited my dad's. It's a nice chainsaw, steel chainsaw, but I didn't use one much growing up. We didn't burn wood and different things, but as I started having the opportunity to use one, I one day had to replace the chain. And so he had an extra one in there, and so I put that chain on, and everything seemed to go fine. Got it latched on and locked in, and got it cranked, started running again, went out to the woods, and man, I hit that tree, and I gave it full throttle. And I want you to know that chain didn't do nothing but put off smoke on that tree. I'm like, what is wrong with this thing? And I realized pretty quickly, didn't take long, that I had put the chain on backwards. But you see, it is possible. You can. That chain can go on either way. But it only works one way. And my friends, the only way to combat spiritual warfare and to gain ground over Satan's territories is only one way. It's by total submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what Paul goes on to say. He says, you cast down those imaginations. What are those imaginations? Those are arguments. Those are theories. Those are debates. Those are the doubts. Those are the things that go against the knowledge of God, of who God is. The knowledge of God, who is God? Is He almighty? Is He right? Is He just? Is He pure? Is He eternal? Is His Word pure? Of course it is. But there's a world out there that is doubting that and trying to get belief to even doubt it. Because if the devil can not get you from going to, if he can keep you from going to heaven, that's what he's going to try to do. But if he can't do that, he will try to render you and me useless. He will try to get us to doubt God. And Paul says it's a spiritual battle. You cast that down. You bring it into obedience to Christ. And I think that can simply be defined as submitting our thoughts to the plan of God. And He's put forth the Great Commission that it works. Even though we're little, even though we're small, even though we seem insignificant, God is saying, no, you are very important in my plan in reaching lost people. You are very important as a church, as an individual, being part of my plan. He calls us co-laborers. He says we're vessels, earthen vessels that have the treasure in us. And the power is not of us, but of God. But what we see here, we need to understand that. By the way, that word warfare is the Greek word stratia, where we would get our English word strategy. You see, there's a spiritual strategy that the world frowns upon and even mocks at. For instance, where do we draw our strength to grow stronger and to enlarge? Well, we have church attendance. You're here this morning. Because I hope you believe that by being here, you get to obey the Word of God, and also you get to draw spiritual strength that you need for the journey. Spiritual strength to increase your faith, to increase your effectiveness. I hope that's why you come to all the services that we have. It's because you realize that you're in a warfare every day, and you need the strength that you have. I think about our missions conference, you know? I think about the very fact that we have one. A lot of the world, in fact, we sent out a Facebook promotion for our missions conference. And it went out to a lot of people. Over 1,000, I believe. And we did that because Facebook gave a promotion, and because we had used several other things in the past to promote. We had a deal, and so we used it. And it's not typically one we will advertise publicly, but I said, hey, why not? The theme of our conference was Stand in Awe. We're talking about God reaching the world and His plan for the world. Let's promote it. So it went out throughout our community. Now, I can only imagine there's probably some people that saw that on their Facebook page pop up and think about those people are crazy. What do they do in mission? What is a missions conference? Missionaries? Doing what? Many of them may just thought it was absurd, but you know what? We realize it's important for us to come and be reminded what Jesus has left the church to do. It is important to see what our missions investments are doing through these various families, through these husbands and wives, through these children, through these local churches. And it is something to ignite and revive our influence for the gospel's sake. You know, I think of the very fact this day, Faith Promise Sunday, that we give forth these cards with what we believe God has placed upon our heart, something that we've prayed about. You understand, to a lost world, that's absurd. What do you mean you pray about it? What do you mean God lays on your heart the amount that you would give? And what do you mean you may not even have it, but you may realize that, but you're going to trust God for it? That doesn't make sense to the common natural man. But those of us that are in touch with God and yielded to Him as His weak vessels, we simply are taking God at His word. And by His grace, we are giving. It's a spiritual realm. Faith is absurd to your common man without Christ. But with us, we can't live without it. It's how we function. It's how we thrive. It's how we reach this world. God's people must place a preeminence on spiritual things. I mean, can I give you another example that maybe is in missions related, but it is because it's all connected. All of it. All of God's Word is connected. What about forgiveness? I mean, you think about the world looks at forgiveness like, what? No, the world says, you mess with me, you hurt me, I am going to retaliate, revenge. But you know, for the Christian, it's different. It's a spiritual weapon called forgiveness. That's God's way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God. Not only that, but I think of soberness. Hey, how do we deal with life's problems? The world says, hey, drink your problems away. Take some drugs that will take you out into another realm of life and leave your problems behind. And that's the way you deal with them. You get high as you can. Just get away from them. But the world, you know, that's what the world teaches. But God says, no, my friends. As a child of God, you want peace, you come to me. You come to Jesus Christ, who is the peace of the world. You come to Christ who alone can satisfy the soul. It is Jesus Christ who we come to. It is through prayer that we get peace. It is through the reading of the Word of God we get peace. It is the fellowship with the brethren that we get peace. My friends, we sing because we know that God will bring peace, and He does bring peace. But you see, that's a spiritual realm. That's foolishness to the world. They would think you're kidding yourself. But I'm telling you, once they get a hold of it, they do understand. My friends, we enlarge our influence by faith and by spiritual warfare But then thirdly, notice with me, how do we measure our influence? Notice what he goes through again. He deals with this idea of how do you know how impactful or how influential you are being? Well, in verse 12, he deals with these ones in the church sowing discord about how they are comparing themselves with one another and measuring themselves by themselves. And he says, look, I'm just going to tell you straight up, that's not wise. That's foolish, he says in verse 12. So one of the things we need to understand right up front when it comes to our influence for the gospel ministry, it is not to be done by comparison with one another. It's not to look at this family or to look at that church and to look at this one and that one. That's not the way it is done. We are not to do it by comparing. We're not to do it by competing. That's the wrong spirit. No, it's not to be compared. It's not for competition. Or do we take credit for someone else's work? Now, Paul's going to deal with that. You remember in verse number 16b, he said not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. What is he saying there? He said, listen, I'm in no way boasting or rejoicing necessarily in something that someone else has done and claiming that I had a hand in it, claiming I did it. No, he said, that's not what it's about. So we can't take credit for what another church is doing. We're not to compare ourselves to what another church is doing. We're not competing with another church. We're not competing with each other. What we are doing, church, we are giving out of a heart for a love, as a heart of love for God and His mission. Simple. That's it. We are giving what we're doing. And so you had carnal believers in here that were competing with one another, comparing themselves with one another. So the question is, how do we measure our influence? How do we measure? How is Crooked Creek Baptist Church doing? I believe we measure our influence simply by our obedience to the commands of Christ. We measure our influence by the specific leading of God's Spirit on our lives. You see, we're all going to be giving different numbers, but it's specifically given by God unto each of us individually. And I'm not to compare myself with anybody else. I simply do what God's telling me to do. That's what is important. That's how we measure what the Lord is doing. What about you, friend? What's your measure of influence? Are you obeying the Lord and everything that He's speaking to you about, everything you're reading about in His Word? Is that what God is doing in your life? Are you allowing Him to do? Notice with me number four about this missions offering is this. Who gets the glory for a growing influence? Who gets the glory for a growing influence? It's found in verse 17. Now, Paul said it was to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But notice verse 17. But he that glorieth, what does it say, church? Let him glory in the Lord. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. We don't have anything to brag about in ourselves. Every missionary that we support, whether it be India, whether it be Mexico or Japan, whether it be Greenland, whether it be Ghana, whether it be Jackson County, whatever is done here in this community and our Jerusalem, whether it be done across the seas, across the nation, everything that is done, our glory is in the Lord. He gets the credit because He's the one providing, number one, the message. He's got the message of salvation. He's provided it through His Son, Jesus Christ. He provides the message, and then He provides the power to carry the message. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be My witnesses. That's a command of God. It is not the great suggestion, church. It is the great commandment. And we must let God work in and through us. Let me give you a connection here. In verse 13, notice what it says up there when Paul says, "But we will not boast of things without measure." Now, what he's talking about there is that without measure is basically immeasurable. It's talking about things that are outside of Paul's influence. You see, there are some things that are outside our limits of influence. There are areas that we won't be able to touch. And Paul says, I'm not talking about those things. But what I am talking about is the measure of the rule which God... Now, notice this. This is so important. Which God hath distributed to us. And that's the question we're asking here this morning, church. God, what have you distributed to us? What have you designed and designated for this local church to do? That's what we want to be obedient to. That's what we want to be yielded to. And he goes on to talk about how we're not going to talk about the measure of others. That's what he said in verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, other men's laborers. That's not what we're talking about here. But notice that word, verse 13. I want you to see that word, circle that word, boast. But we will not boast. Circle that word. And then go down to verse 17, and where it says, "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." I want you to circle that word glory in verse 17. Church, those two words are the same exact Greek word. You say, well, what's your point, preacher? Paul is saying up there in verse 13, we do not boast of things beyond or without our measure that are immeasurable, outside of our influence. He said basically what we are boasting in the first part of that, we're boasting in the things that God has given us to do. And do you know how else that word boast and glory are translated? There's a couple other places in the Word of God that it's translated rejoice. Same Greek word, but it's the word rejoice. So this is what I believe the spirit of Paul's heart, and I'm praying that will be each of ours this morning. This is this. Listen up. I'm drawing this thing to a close. Paul is saying, I rejoice in what God has allowed us to do. What God has given us to do. But he said, the reason I can rejoice is because it's all from the Lord. It's all by Him and through Him and to Him that we give glory. And that's what we're doing here. As we give the offering, we're simply saying, Lord, if I can use this plate as just being symbolic, Lord, we would like to take what You have given us that You have made possible. You've made this possible. We want to rejoice in it, Lord, for the people that have been reached. Thank You for letting us pray for them. Thank You for letting us support them. Thank You for what we're doing here in Jackson County. Thank You, Lord. And You get the glory. Do you see how wonderful and beautiful that truly is as the Lord allows us and we rejoice, we glory in Him? You know, there's approximately 65 million people that died in 2020. Now please, just don't let that statistic just fly by. I know how that is sometimes when the preacher starts breaking out statistics. Sometimes we just get a little numb to them and you get to the end of the message. I know you're tired. But approximately 65 million people, souls, died in 2020. That is 65 million souls that entered into eternity either in heaven with God or in hell without God. How many of those could have been reached by you or me? Also, there was approximately 140 million people born into this world in 2020. How many of those eternal souls can you and I reach to the glory of God? Well, my friends, that will be determined by our faith in the plan of God and our obedience to fulfill it. I like what Keith Green said when he said this. This generation of Christians is responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. And so upon that note, church, we're going to go right into our offering unto the Lord for the coming year of what we're going to do by faith.